It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking. Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Welcome in to a Tuesday, October 7th edition of Overtime. Big show on the way. All things Minnesota pro sports. I'm talking Wild, T-Wolves, Twins, and Minnesota Vikings. Darren Wolfson of KSTP in the Twin Cities will join us here in about 20 minutes. Very important conversation ahead, including a season preview and some thoughts on Kaprizov's deal, Gustafson's deal, and more. With those Minnesota Wild, the NHL season snuck up on us, that's for sure. That begins tonight. Trio of games beginning at 4 o'clock on ESPN. Get you primed and ready for that. NHL season opener, Major League Baseball latest at the end of Hour 1. Headlines and highlights, NFL talk, and Week 6 power rankings. And yes, six of my top eight teams lost this week, so this is a mess. This was a stressful exercise to put together Week 6 power rankings on the way around 12:20. And we finish up today's show with a wide-ranging and fun conversation, I'm sure, with USD Coyote first-year head football coach Travis Johansson. His team picked up a win over Murray State. They got the Sycamores, one of just a few teams from sea to shining sea named after a tree. And they got him Saturday coming up at noon out in Terre Haute. And USD head football coach Travis Johansson joining us around 12:40. A lot still to come on this Tuesday edition of Overtime. Major League Baseball postseason right away here as we get into the scorecard. The Dodgers beat up the Phillies again. This one a close one. 4-3 the final, and the Dodgers, some would say against the odds, we knew they would be good. Didn't love the matchup against Philly, but it hasn't mattered. Dodgers have been the better team. 4-3 yesterday's final. Phillies manager Rob Thompson climbing out of a 0-2 hole. Here's what he had to say.
I love the fight in the 8th and 9th inning. They fought like hell, and hopefully that carries over into Wednesday. But this is a resilient group. Our backs are against the wall. Just got to come out fighting.
And again, Phillies for a long time down the stretch of August into September were your World Series favorites. Now it's the Dodgers once again. All is right, all is wrong in the world again. Dodgers huge payroll, big results on the way, we're sure. 2-0 lead over the Phillies, 4-3 yesterday's final. And the Cubs and Brewers feel like this was fated based on their managerial exchange of Craig Counsell, but the team that received and bought Counsell out of Milwaukee, that's the Cubs, is getting their butt whipped by the Milwaukee Brewers, their rival, 7-3 yesterday. Here's the final call.
Uribe ready. Kicks fired. Swing and a miss. Struck him out. Dansby Swanson down on strikes, and that's the ball game. The Brewers win it here 7-3, and they have taken a commanding 2-0 lead in this best-of-five division series. Milwaukee wins it 7-3 here tonight at American Family Field.
So 7-3, Milwaukee a sweeperoo through 2 games, looking to finish the job at Wrigley coming up in a few nights. And Craig Counsell, the manager of the Cubs, used to manage the Brewers, on his team's mindset moving forward.
It's simple, man. We got to just win pitches. We got to win moments. You got to stay with your process and your routines. It's simple as that. We got our work cut out for us, but it's done by winning one pitch at a time and succeeding one pitch at a time. It's going to be a fun environment. We're looking forward to Wednesday. And our road back to Milwaukee starts on Wednesday afternoon.
That's Craig Counsell, other side of the coin. Brewers manager Pat Murphy. Why does his team continue to succeed and build upon their stellar regular season?
People are wondering, how does this team have the best record in baseball? How does this team, and nobody predicted they'd be over 500. And then we have all the injuries. Certainly nobody was banking on us. But how did that happen? It's the group of people in the room. It's the group of people in the room that know how to wash it off. They know how to bounce back. They know how to have a bad series and understand the importance of the next pitch. And that relentless kind of behavior is, you know, a separator. But don't think other teams and other guys don't do it too. We've just got a good collection of guys that, you know, are happy they're in the big leagues. I call them cliffhangers, you know, guys that don't know if their locker's going to be there when they get back to the deal. And that's a fun thing. That hunger, you know, makes us look like we know what we're doing. You know what I mean? It's pretty cool.
Certainly feels that way for Milwaukee. They lead the series now 2-0. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Mariners at Tigers. 2:30 on ESPN Sioux Falls. That series is the only so far that is tied 1-1. Blue Jays bringing a 2-0 lead to Yankee Stadium tonight, 6:30. Also on ESPN Sioux Falls, Yankees manager Aaron Boone believing his team can come back.
Baseball's a funny game. I know we'll show up and ready to go expecting to win Tuesday night. So, you know, obviously it feels like the world's caving in around you. And, you know, you lose two games like that in their building where it doesn't go right. But all of a sudden you go out there and win a ball game on Tuesday, the needle can change.
Certainly can change moving forward again. Yankees, Blue Jays from Yankee Stadium, 6:30. Mariners at Tigers, 2:30. Coverage beginning right here. Doubleheader on ESPN Sioux Falls. Monday Night Football. Well, well, well. What team has more arrived in the last two games in the NFL season? The Patriots with a big win and upset in Buffalo against their rival Buffalo Bills. Been staring up at them for a couple seasons now since Bill Belichick and Brady left town 2023 for Belichick. But certainly last night was an impactful win. It didn't look like a win at all early on. Jacksonville was a buzz, but the Chiefs came to play. They went up 14-0 in the game. And then everything came unglued, a pick six for Pat Mahomes. Chiefs were the better team, at least they looked like it towards the end of the game, until they weren't. And the Jaguars utilized about a minute 40 on the clock, had a bunch of timeouts, and Trevor Lawrence comes to play with perhaps the clumsiest game-winning touchdown I've ever seen. He took the snap, got stepped on by his right guard on the foot, fell to the ground. Attempted to get up, fell back down, got up again, and rumbled and bumbled and frankly stumbled a little bit more into the end zone for a game-winning touchdown. Jags 31, Chiefs 28, Kansas City 2-3. Here's head coach Andy Reid.
As much as these losses hurt, there's and the wins, there's always good and bad in each. Things you can learn from and move forward with. We've got to make sure we do that. But we've got to, you know, we've got to be more disciplined with the penalty part of it. And then I've got to obviously evaluate those and, go from there.
Certainly going to have to evaluate Chris Jones's tape on the final play there against Trevor Lawrence. Just stood there and watched and could have easily given chase and pursued Lawrence on the play. Not a good look. I'm still not that worried. You can call me whatever you want to based on the Ravens, the Bengals a couple years ago. I just don't really quit on good programs, good teams. The Chiefs might not be great this year. Ravens might not be great this year, but I'm not quitting them. I'm not burying them in the AFC right now despite sluggish starts. Yes, I'm buying more Chiefs stock than Ravens right now, but 2-3, and they're about to get a big name reinforcement next week with the return of Rashee Rice for week 7 of the NFL season after a 6-game suspension. That'll pay dividends offensively. They got some things to figure out, but if anybody can figure it out, I do trust Andy Reid tremendously. Now, for a former Chiefs head coach, Herm Edwards, talking about the Jaguars, this win big for them and their identity in 2025.
I think they showed the country why they are 4-1 against a team in the Kansas City Chiefs that they beat. And I think that really validates a little bit who they are. This was a big test for them, I felt. At home, Monday night game, the national game. The Chiefs are used to playing in big games. And Patrick Mahomes, obviously, is very comfortable in that situation. And I thought that Trevor Lawrence, this was a game that he needed to show everybody. You know, we are real. We are a good football team. And give them credit. they found a way to win this game.
Trevor Lawrence, 2 rushing touchdowns, 1 passing touchdown in the win. Kansas City blows a big early lead in the game. By the way, before we go any further, talk a little bit about those Chiefs. I want to talk about uniforms. We've been talking about them a lot lately, how much I love the creamsicles in Tampa, how much I love the silver top Seahawks in that matchup as well. Broncos orange crush uniforms need to be their primaries. Bring them back. Come on. And the Jaguars last night, how sharp were they, man? That old Jaguar logo, the Jaguar aqua, turquoise, teal, whatever the heck color that is, very cool uniform combo to me. I don't know why they changed off it. Bring that back. Primary for Jacksonville. Look good, feel good, play good. Jags are 4-1 for the first time since 2007. What's the level of panic in Kansas City? Here's Dominique Foxworth of ESPN.
I still think it's below 5 panic meter for the Chiefs. Like, their division is still very much winnable. The right. Broncos are a really good team.
Broncos are good.
I think what is encouraging is the Chiefs that we know offensively, they appear to be back.
Yep. Right.
The turnover in the red zone was a problem. That's not a normal Patrick Mahomes situation. They had back-to-back weeks. They had explosive plays. Last week, you're like, well, the Ravens are super injured. The Ravens just are bad on defense. The Jags are not bad on defense.
Right.
They play well offensively. So I'm not panicking if I'm the Chiefs. They always find a way to adapt.
And we'll see what the Chiefs can do. They'll be in action against the Detroit Lions for Sunday Night Football. Big matchup. Not an easy one. In week number 6, here's your schedule. Primetime and for our area teams. Thursday Night Football, Eagles and Giants from MetLife Stadium, 7:15 on Prime Video on Thursday night. Sunday, Broncos and Jets get up early, 8:30 from London on the NFL Network. Broncos a touchdown plus favorite, 7.5 is the spread this morning. Bengals and Packers, 3:25 on CBS. Green Bay is a 14.5 point favorite. That feels a little rich for me. We'll wait and see. 3:25 start, 3:00 here on ESPN Sioux Falls. And the remainder of the schedule, Lions and Chiefs Sunday night. Kansas City favored by 2.5 at home. Bills and Falcons up first, 6:15. Monday Night Football, Bears and Commanders, 7:15 ABC. Monday Night Football doubleheader, Commanders favored by 4.5 points. More from Herm Edwards here. We talked about the Bengals and Packers, that incredibly large spread. Interesting take here, though. I don't agree. I'm going to let you know right away. But Herm Edwards on the AFC North pecking order as it currently stands right now.
I don't know if the Baltimore Ravens can overcome what has happened to them defensively this season. And you look at that division, Cincinnati's wounded. And all of a sudden, Pittsburgh's kind of sitting there. And when the season started, you know, you watch them on defense, you go, oh, boy, they're not very good. And then all of a sudden they start taking the ball away, and it looks like that division is really – it's Pittsburgh's division to lose right now. Who else over there threatens them? Not Cleveland, not the Ravens, right? Who's threatening Pittsburgh over there? Nobody.
Baltimore's the answer. Baltimore's going to get it right. I don't know how right they'll get it. I don't know if they're going to go and be in the final 2, final 4 in the AFC, but I do think they're a superior team to Pittsburgh. Do I think Pittsburgh's surprising? Yes. Am I buying them as a legitimate contender and a lock to win their division? No, not yet. The margin is 2 games right now between Pittsburgh and everybody else. And frankly, it's even 1 game. Pittsburgh has 3 wins. Cincinnati has 2. But the team I'm focused on is Baltimore. Cleveland, to me, we know what they are. They're figuring it out. They got to figure out a young quarterback situation. The defense is good. Offense is bad. Cleveland likely to be the cellar dweller in the division, if not Cincinnati. Baltimore, if they win, end up winning 8, 9, 10 games, I think that might be good enough to get by Pittsburgh, especially because they'll play the Steelers 2 times in the final 5 weeks of the regular season. So it will be a long time before we officially figure it out. Probably the ugliest game over the weekend was the Arizona Cardinals and the Tennessee Titans in terms of how the sausage was made. In terms of that football game, Arizona, a couple boneheaded plays. Jonathan Gannon, though, on TV, going to Amari DiMercato on the sideline, making physical contact with him, yelling at his face, and not a good look. He has since apologized for the behavior. Jeff Saturday on the behavior, the apology, and how Arizona recovers from such a tough loss against the Titans.
Coach, 100% dead wrong. Take aside the fumble, all the dead wrong. You don't put your hands on another man. You know, you can be upset, you can be frustrated, you can say what you got to say to him. You don't put your hands on him. I will say, I felt that was an authentic apology. Like, I felt like he meant what he said. I thought about it last night. I blew it. I made a mistake as well. I appreciate him saying that to the team, addressing the team first before he did it through the press. And it happens. I mean, I've had coaches fight. I've fought with players. I get it, right? Like, it's an intense game on the sideline. But you don't ever put your hands on somebody on the sideline. He knows it. He apologized for it, but he was dead wrong.
And Cardinals looking to move forward there. Jonathan Gannon, Amari DiMercato, and Arizona 2-3, three straight losses on last second field goals. College football schedule this weekend. USD will be in Terre Haute, Indiana against the Sycamores at noon on Saturday. That's on ESPN Plus. Full preview with Coach Travis Johansson later on in the show around 12:40. It's Concordia St. Paul, the opponent for Augustana this weekend at Kirkaby Over Stadium. That's a 1 o'clock kick time. UNI visiting South Dakota State in Brookings, 2 o'clock on ESPN. Plus, Iowa State visiting Colorado in Boulder, 2:30 on ESPN. Other matchups on the way, Nebraska at Maryland, Iowa at Wisconsin, Purdue at Minnesota, and locally, Sioux Falls going to be on the road out in Marshall against the Mustangs of Southwest Minnesota State. That is a 5 o'clock kick time. NASCAR race this weekend is at Vegas on Sunday. There are just four races to go in the chase for the cup and the season concluding 4:30 Sunday on USA TV. Game 3 of the WNBA Finals, Aces at Mercury, is tomorrow night, 7 o'clock on ESPN. Las Vegas holds a 2-0 advantage in the series. And welcome back to the National Hockey League tonight, opening night. Blackhawks at Panthers, 4 o'clock. Penguins at Rangers, 7. Avs at the Kings, 9:30. All three of those games back to back to back on ESPN TV this evening. Let's dive right into your ReliaBank headlines of the day, and it starts out as a Tuesday rankings recap here. AAA South Dakota High School Football has a new top team. BV and Lincoln, Lincoln and BV, they've been tussling off the field throughout the season. In the rankings, they tussled on the field on Friday night, and BV got the big and impactful win 35-30. Lynx are a unanimous number one in the South Dakota Prep Media poll. Lincoln 2, Harrisburg 3. Also, that team remains 5-1 as well. O'Gorman 4, Jefferson 5. Very good teams in AAA this year, especially those five in the rankings right now. In AA, Huron, your new top team, moving from 2-1 with a record of 5-1. T jumping up from number 4 to number 2, same record. Sturgis 3. Yankton, last week's number 1, falls down to number 4, and Pierre in the rankings at number 5 with a surprising record of 3-3. Sioux Falls Christian remains undefeated, and your top team at 11, single A, and 11B, Elk Point Jefferson, followed by St. Thomas More as teams receiving votes. 9AA, Freeman Marion, the top team, Hamlin second, and over down to the remaining class, 9A, Wall, your top team, followed by Warner, both those teams getting first place votes. And 9B, Sully Buttes 1, Avon 2, St. Mary's 3, that trio 1-2-3, all undefeated. South Dakota Prep volleyball poll out for another week as well, courtesy of SD Media. AA, Harrisburg remains atop the poll, 15-2, followed by BV, O'Gorman, Watertown, and Rapid City Stevens. Single A, Del Rapids, followed by Dakota Valley, Sioux Falls Christian, Clark Willow Lake, and Lennox. And Class B, Chester, your top team, 20-1, their record, followed by Northwestern, Warner, Burke, and Bridgewater, Emory, Ethan. Those are your rankings here locally for prep polls. And now let's dive in to the D2 football poll, where the Augustana Vikings continue to march on into the top 10 and now into the top 7. That's right. The Vikings, the 7th rated team in the country with a record of 6-0. They trail in order Ferris State 1, Harding, West Florida, Kutztown, Western Colorado, and UT Permian Basin. Rounding out the top 10, Grand Valley State, West Alabama, and Duluth. And the only other NSIC team in the rankings this week is Mankato at number 14. The Mavericks have a 5-1 record. Duluth also 6-0. FCS poll, NDSU 1, SDSU 2, other MVFC teams in the poll outside of the top 5, Tarleton State, Montana, Montana State in the top 5, Salukis at 8, Illinois State Redbirds at 9, North Dakota at 13 on the season, and South Dakota falls down 2 spots, but they still are in the top 25 at number 23. One MVFC team did fall out this week, Youngstown State, after the loss to SDSU, falling out, but they are technically the 26th ranked team in the country. Lastly, cool article up at NCAA.com. Breakout performances, big midseason superlatives for 2025 in FCS college football. The breakout performance, LJ Phillips Jr. of USD. We always hear about big shoes to fill whenever a player gets hurt. How big would these hypothetical shoes be when a player has to replace a preseason FCS All-American running back like Charles Pierre Jr.? Running back LJ Phillips would know the answer to that question. 301 yards in a week 3 win against Northern Colorado, had 4 scores and 244 yards this past weekend. Heck of a deal and a lot of national recognition for LJ Phillips Jr. NCAA.com for that article. We'll take the break, come back. Darren Wolfson of KSTP in the Twin Cities. First time we've chatted with him in a little while on the show. All things Minnesota pro sports. Wentz or McCarthy? Who will it be out of the bye? Minnesota Wild season preview. T-Wolves talk, Twins talk, and more coming up next on Overtime.
Overtime is in the middle of your workday. Unwrap your sandwich and get caught up with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this Tuesday, October 7th edition of Overtime. It's all Minnesota talk right now. Twins, Vikings, Minnesota Wild, who dropped the puck in just a couple nights, and also Minnesota Timberwolves will be in action before too long on the 22nd of October, their season opener in Portland. Darren Wolfson of KSTP in the Twin Cities is our guest right now. You can find him on Twitter at DWolfsonKSTP. My friend, long time no talk. How you doing this week?
I am doing well, Bert. Hope all is well in your world.
Hey, everything's great, man. We're a little cooler, but it feels a little bit more like fall here in Sioux Falls, so I'm good with that. Let's talk about Minnesota pro sports. They certainly give us a lot to talk about. The Twins were quiet because they shipped off everybody at the deadline down the stretch of the year. They also said so long to Rocco Baldelli after the conclusion of a 70-92 season. Might not be all too surprising based on trajectory, what he was dealt down the stretch here. But what do you make of the Twins' season, the departure of Baldelli, and who could slide in as the next manager in Minnesota?
Well, I mean, it was a disaster, right, Bert? Mm-hmm. There had to be a fall guy. Now, hey, like, we need to evaluate Rocco on more than what we saw in August and September after the trade deadline. It's not like he got fired because of the failures in August and September. The issues go much beyond that. You think about last year, the worst collapse in team history from mid-August 2024 until the rest of the season. Then you think about this year. You mentioned it. 90-plus losses. First 90-loss season since 2016. You missed the playoffs 4 of the last 5 years. Somebody had to lose their job. I like Rocco personally. I thought their IQ as a team was pretty darn low this year, so I get the move. Personally, I would have kept him. I think the issues go deeper than him, but I understand it, right? Especially after being over there last week, talking to some people on the record. On background, I fully understand why they made the decision they made. Bert, I imagine, like, it's still early in the process, but I imagine the next manager will be somebody who has zero previous managerial experience. Now, we could point to a guy like former Baltimore manager Brandon Hyde. He was in the mix in 2018 before Rocco Baldelli got the job. And I think there's maybe some interest there, but I would look more at somebody like Yankees hitting coach James Rowson, who's the former Twins hitting coach, or maybe former Twins catcher Kurt Suzuki. His name has been bandied about. If you look at the assistant coaches in Cleveland, Vance Wilson, the Royals' third base coach, I would look at more like those type guys, not somebody that has previous managerial experience. The roster still needs all sorts of work, but like, I can make a case. If you can presume a healthy Pablo Lopez for all of next year. He missed, what, a couple months this year. Into Joe Ryan, into Bailey Ober, who had all sorts of injury hiccups this year, that I still feel like there's a lot of what we saw in 24 and 23 with Bailey Ober. If you think you can get all of that next year, that's a pretty good 1-2-3 in the rotation. Then you've got guys like Simeon Woods-Richardson, Debbie Matthews, Taj Bradley, who they acquired at the trade deadline, Mick Abel, who they acquired at the trade deadline. So they have, to me, rotation depth. I'll be curious to see this winter, do they trade one of those starters for a position player? Because to me, the offense still needs all sorts of help and work.
And certainly it's a big offseason for Minnesota, looking to point the ship in some direction heading into 2026. Let's talk about those Vikings. You'll be hard-pressed to find somebody that doesn't have a strong water cooler opinion about Carson Wentz, Max Brosmer, Kevin O'Connell, and that quarterback situation. J.J. McCarthy, of course, the big name there. Minnesota somehow is 3-2 despite probably the most impactful and disastrous injury situation in the league. 3-2, the record, quarterback debate. Fire away, Darren. What are you hearing? What is your read? And what's your take on Kevin O'Connell's presentation of the quarterback room over the last couple weeks in Minnesota?
Well, first off, Bert, can I offer some blowback?
Absolutely.
Let me make a case, right? When you look at their starters, the 11 on offense for the most part, the 11 on defense, and I get it, there's mixing and matching with nickel packages and all that, but when you look at it, it's about 45% of their starting 22 that have missed time. So you could make a case, but what about Baltimore? What about San Francisco?
Absolutely.
Had Dallas won a game on Sunday down 4 starting offensive linemen plus CeeDee Lamb is out. So I'm just saying, like, to me, it's across the league.
Yep.
Look at the L.A. Chargers. My guy Joe Alt now out. They lose their starting left tackle in the summer before week one. Now they're down their top 2 running backs. I'm just saying it's across the league.
In San Francisco.
There are so many injuries. So I'm not sure it's just the Vikings, or that we can put the Vikings number 1 on the list, but they're certainly in the conversation. Mm-hmm. The good news is, okay, bye week. So next play, what, October 19th against the defending champion Eagles, who to me have warts. A lot of these teams have warts. To me, that's a very winnable game on October 19th at US Bank Stadium in downtown Minneapolis. Should have back starting left guard Donovan Jackson. Should have back starting linebacker Blake Cashman. Don't know about Andrew Van Ginkle. Don't know at this point about right tackle Brian O'Neill. J.J. McCarthy, a bit up in the air. I do think, though, Bert, like any talk of, hey, like Carson Wentz, he's been good enough. Think about that drive on Sunday, 9 for 9 on the final drive. And, hey, to me, Carson Wentz, Bert, deserves all sorts of love, especially for that final drive. But my sense is the Vikings want J.J. McCarthy back in there when he's healthy, when he's able to move, not just run. Running is a part of what he can do, but just even being able to bootleg, throw on the run, high ankle sprain, it takes a while. I thought J.J. McCarthy would be able to do some stuff in practice in London on Thursday and or Friday. He did not. Like, I thought he might be limited.
Mm-hmm.
The fact he didn't get any work in London makes me wonder. Now, hey, he'll be at the facility all week. They will see him behind the scenes here this bye week. So I guess it'll come down to, let's see how J.J. McCarthy is like 1 week from tomorrow, that first ramp-up practice into Eagles week. So Wednesday, I guess that would be the 15th. Let's see where he is a week from tomorrow, that first big practice of Eagles week. So I'm not even quite sure the Vikings know right now who their starting quarterback will be on October 19th. But I'm just saying, like, any idea that, like, the Vikings are trying to hide an injury or anything like that, like, they want to see what J.J. McCarthy can do. When J.J. McCarthy's ankle is ready to go, he'll be back in there. But whether he's in there on the 19th or not, they will get some of these guys back. And, hey, we thought this was going to be a gauntlet, this upcoming stretch, Eagles into a short week at the L.A. Chargers, then at Detroit, Baltimore at home, then you have the Bears and the Packers. So you think about the next 6 games. Well, I don't know, Bert. Is it still a gauntlet? Like, to me, the Eagles, one of the worst passing offenses in the league. From afar, it seems A.J. Brown is a bit disgruntled. Like, the Eagles have issues. The Chargers, we just mentioned, very banged up. Yeah, that's a tricky game when you have to travel to play a Thursday night game. But maybe that game isn't as difficult as I thought 2 weeks ago. Okay, Detroit, they look like the best team right now in the NFC. Then Baltimore, right? Like, how many guys will Baltimore have back by November 9th? So maybe this 4-game stretch isn't as tough as we thought a few weeks ago. So to me, at 3-2, can the Vikings over the next 6 games get to like 6-5 or even 7-4? Can they go 4-2 in their next 6? Maybe they can't, but I think that's realistic. Get to 7-4 after 11. Then you're pretty well positioned.
Darren, it's kind of hard to discern who exactly the team is based on the injuries we alluded to and the mixed bag of a season they've had so far. But from what you've seen and what you've gleaned from the team, from the tape, what's the ceiling for the Vikings this season? Is it a postseason berth? Is it a postseason win or two? And how much love does Kevin O'Connell deserve for getting this team to 3-2 through five games?
Yeah, I mean, he deserves plenty of love. I mean, I think he's a top five coach in the league. But, hey, there's been hiccups. Don't get me wrong, right? I mean, we can nitpick KOC, but like I thought on Sunday, they ran, what, 61 offensive plays outside of that 3rd-and-1 toss play in the second quarter where they failed on that 3rd-and-1. I thought KOC was a brilliant play caller. I thought his game plan on Sunday, down all those starting offensive linemen, I thought KOC had an excellent Sunday. What's the ceiling? I'd like to think they could win a playoff game finally under KOC 4 years in. Can they finally win a playoff game? I just don't know, Bert. Like, who do you love in the NFC? I get it if you say Detroit, but they're down two legit cornerbacks right now. Terrion Arnold might be out for the year. DJ Reed. So outside of the injuries, the Lions look legit. I don't know. I need to see more from the Eagles. I really do. I like the Rams, so you could sell me still on the Rams. The Niners, I mean, they've been decimated. I guess the Niners are legit, but can they overcome all those injuries? 4-1 is impressive, but can they sustain this? The Packers, I like the Packers. Mm-hmm. But when you lose in Cleveland, I have to pause at least a little bit. So I don't know, like, what to make of the NFC right now. So I'd like to think the Vikings can still find a way, get to 10-7. It might be more a wild card, but then go win a playoff game on the road. Maybe that's me being just a little bit, you know, optimistic, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities that this can still be a playoff team.
And certainly a lot of big games ahead for Minnesota into the bye week with a record of 3-2. Darren Wolfson of KSTP in the Twin Cities is our guest. His work, KSTP.com, D. Wolfson, KSTP on Twitter. The puck drops tonight on the NHL season. Kind of snuck up on all of us. There's three games going on tonight. Wild will not be in play for a couple of nights. But give me some storylines, things to watch this year. And certainly, they're in the news lately. They get the deal done with Kaprizov and Gustavson since that time. Pretty big acquisitions, extensions, if you will, for Minnesota on the heels of the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I mean, can they win a playoff series, right? We're talking about the Vikings. Can they win a playoff game for the first time under KOC? It's been a long time. We have to go back many, many years since the Wild won a playoff series. Now, one could argue for a large stretch of that first-round series last spring that they outplayed Las Vegas, but it didn't even go to a seventh game. They lost the series. And so the question is, you know, when you don't make any big moves in the summer, now, I'm not sure there was a big move to be had. Like, should they have offered Brock Besser a ton of money? I don't know. I guess we could have that back and forth. But, you know, the big move was trading for Vladimir Tarasenko, who I don't know if he has, you know, the St. Louis Blues Vladimir Tarasenko still in him, or if he's more like the player we saw last year in Detroit that is okay, but not quite the star that he was a few years ago. Otherwise, they didn't really do much of anything. They have a lot of young guys. They have 9 players on the opening night roster, 24 years of age or younger. The question is, can they improve their special teams? 30th last year, penalty kill, 20th power play. Can they move those numbers up? Some of that was health. You think about last year, Bert, Kaprizov missed a chunk of games. Brodin missed a chunk of games. Jared Spurgeon, the captain, missed a chunk of games. Joel Eriksson Ek missed a chunk of games. So, you know, like a lot of these teams, can the Wild maintain their health? And we're looking at the roster right now. Matt Zuccarello, who has unreal chemistry with Kaprizov, is going to miss at least another 5 to 6 weeks. Underwent a surgery, lower body injury. I don't have any more particulars than that, but he's not going to play anytime soon. Then Brodin is actually ahead of schedule. They thought he would be out through mid to late October. He was great yesterday. I was over at practice yesterday. He looked pretty darn good, but I don't anticipate him playing Thursday or the home opener on Saturday. But I do think Jonas Brodin will be back as soon as next week. But can they somehow maintain their health? If they do, I think they're a playoff team. Then it comes down to matchups. And, oh, by the way, Bert, you can make a case they play in the best division in hockey. When you look at that division with Winnipeg, Dallas, Colorado. Then to me, St. Louis is still decent. Utah, I think, is going to make a big step up. A friend of mine, Mike Gensel, is a scout with Utah Mammoth, so I hear a lot about Utah or enough about Utah. Like, to me, Utah is going to be better than last year. Nashville, you know, they might take a step back, but still, Nashville has some guys. So you look at the division, and where exactly do the Wild fall? Like, it's going to be tough to be better than, to me, the Jets, the Stars, and the Avalanche. But I think they can at least find their way in, like last year, the wild card team, and take their chances come the spring.
Story out at ESPNSiouxFalls.com this morning. Little preview of the season. Minnesota Wild checking in right smack dab in the middle of the league in Stanley Cup odds, 14th or 15th, depending upon where you look this morning. Darren Wolfson, our guest, KSTP in the Twin Cities. Before we let you go, let's talk about probably the most hopeful team in the Minnesota pro sports team. That is the Minnesota Timberwolves. They open the season later this month on the 22nd against Portland. A lot of expectations again, and you got to feel pretty darn good about Minnesota based on where they've been 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years ago to where they've been the last couple of years. The expectations are big, and every year, a lot of eyes on Minnesota. They're bringing back the trees uniforms. A lot to love this year for the T-Wolves. What do you think?
Yeah, it's fun. Tonight, the preseason home opener against the Patriots. I thought, Bert, you were going to ask me about the soccer team, Minnesota United.
Minnesota United.
First in the Western Conference when talking about the pro sports teams here in town, or heck, the women's hockey team, the Frost, all they do is win championships. But yeah, when talking about the four major men's pro sports teams, certainly the Wolves are top the list of teams with giant expectations. And hey, to me, they will miss Nikhil Alexander-Walker, lost him in free agency to Atlanta, but Terrence Shannon Jr., to me, is ready to take a step up. We saw glimpses, shades of what he can do last year. Jalen Clark is ready to increase his role. Then to me, Anthony Edwards, we forget he's still only, what, 24 years old, year six, but still only 24. I need to see it to believe it, but being over there multiple days so far for media availability during training camp, there's a lot of talk about Ant becoming, you know, all NBA defensive team type player. Jaden McDaniels, too. I mean, he wasn't all defense last year, but he was 2 years ago, so there's a thought that Jaden McDaniels can get back to that level, but there's a thought that Ant can get to there, that he can be all defensive team this year. If he does, with what he can do on offense, we're talking about a legit MVP candidate. To me, they're going to be in the mix, just the Western Conference, right? Like the NHL, I talk about the Wild and the Central Division. You look at the Western Conference and the NBA, it's not slowing down. Like, I can make a case the Lakers and Clippers are better. Denver certainly is better. Oklahoma City is going to be really, really good again. So where exactly do the Wolves fall in? But to me, they're a top four team, which means they have home court advantage in the first round. Then it'll come down to health. You know, is everybody healthy come mid-April? But yeah, I think the Wolves are fully capable of making another deep run this year.
A lot of great stuff and a lot of excitement ahead. Minnesota Wild dropping the puck on Thursday. T-Wolves underway on the 22nd against Portland to begin their seasons. And great stuff for the Minnesota Vikings as always. You want that behind-the-scenes look at all things Minnesota pro sports? Look no further than our friend, longtime friend of the show, Darren Wolfson, D. Wolfson, KSTP on Twitter. Have a great rest of the week, my friend. Thanks as always for everything you do and joining the show today.
Much appreciated, Bert. Thanks for following the script there. Thanks for giving me all that love.
Hey, of course, man. I always do. I'll look for my $5 bill in the mail sometime soon. Darren Wolfson of KSDP, our guest here on this Tuesday. Great stuff, as always, on the Minnesota pro sports scene. He hit the nail on the head. Yes, the Vikings have an injury excuse, but is it the worst injury situation in the league? That's up for debate. The Vikings offensive line has been bad and injured, but the Niners are in the conversation. Ravens are in the conversation. The Bengals are in the conversation with the impact that Burrow has on their team and many, many other teams battling the injury bug. Vikings have been bitten and bitten hard by the bug, but a lot up for debate there. But you can say this definitively, surprising and good results in terms of wins and losses through five games, Minnesota 3-2. And if the season ended today, I told you this yesterday, Minnesota would be the seventh seed in the NFC. We'll take the break, come back with NHL season primer, Major League Baseball talk, and so much more as we say so long to hour number one right around the corner on this Tuesday, October 7th edition of Overtime. That's next on ESPN Sioux Falls.
Want more of Overtime? It's all on the podcast. Free with the app or online at ESPN Sioux Falls. Overtime with Burt Rameen on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Back with you, set to wrap up hour number one on a Tuesday edition of Overtime. Very wide-ranging talk a minute ago with Darren Wolfson of KSTP in the Twin Cities. If you missed it or want to listen back to other parts of the conversation, we talked Vikings, we talked Twins, we talked Wild, and of course we sprinkled in some T-Wolves as well. Wide-ranging stuff. Darren Wolfson of KSTP in the Twin Cities. Podcast link will be available at the top of the hour, about 5-7 minutes from now, at the conclusion of us talking into the microphone here in hour one at ESPNSiouxFalls.com and on the free ESPN Sioux Falls mobile app. Let's dive right in to the NHL season openers tonight. You got three games on the way for a tripleheader, 4 o'clock from Florida. The Panthers, defending champion, hosting the Chicago Blackhawks. That should be a very lopsided affair. Florida -280 on the money line. Penguins at Rangers, 7 o'clock on ESPN. Rangers heavily favored there. And it's anyone's guess, just about a pick'em between the Avalanche and the Kings from L.A. That's the 9:30 nightcap on ESPN. Gary Bettman was on ESPN Radio this morning talking about our first news item to address here. That's Connor McDavid, game's brightest star. That's up for debate, but one of the game's brightest stars remaining in Edmonton this offseason. Contract extension, an average annual value of just $12.5 million. Feels like a discount. Gary Bettman is the surprise that McDavid is sticking around in Edmonton.
It speaks volumes about what a great NHL player will do to win. I think it shows his commitment to Edmonton, and it shows that he's committed to winning a Stanley Cup and bringing it back to Edmonton. I think it's terrific news for Oilers fans. I mean, for the league, he was going to play, so it wasn't an issue. Mm-hmm. But it really is a great statement about the team orientation of our game.
That's Gary Bettman, the NHL commissioner. More on that deal. Connor McDavid remaining with Edmonton, signing a 2-year contract extension worth $25 million. Less than 2 hours after signing McDavid, the Oilers also inked defenseman Jake Walman to a 7-year, $49 million extension that will also start next year. So maybe that was a little bit of a 2-for-1 deal, Connor. Take a little less money. We can bring in Walman with you. Speculation on my part. McDavid made his decision as of yesterday morning, and the contract talks were completed within hours. In terms of goal scorers and assisters, McDavid is as good as they get. He's got 1,082 career points, which ranks 5th in NHL history for players before turning 29. He only trails just a few in terms of 100-point seasons on the list. Gretzky has 15, Lemieux 10, McDavid and Marcel Dionne 8 apiece. And before 29, Gretzky, Lemieux, Yzerman, Howardchuk, and then McDavid, 5th on the list. Connor McDavid turning 29 in January. Very accomplished player, just missing one thing, and that is the Stanley Cup to hoist above his head. Let's talk about the latest odds in the NHL before the season gets going. Again, we went through the schedule tonight. If you're a fan of the Minnesota Wild, you might be hopeful they can get back to the postseason. They have the 15th best odds at DraftKings Sportsbook to win the Stanley Cup this year. Other area teams on the outside of the top 10, St. Louis Blues at plus 5,000 is the 17th best mark in the NHL. And the Chicago Blackhawks, Vegas is saying better luck next year before this year even gets started. Blackhawks have the tied for the longest odds in the NHL heading into the year, plus 50,000 at DraftKings Sportsbook. You would hope, by the way, as a Blackhawks fan, which I am, you would hope that you would see a little bit of progression from the youngsters on the roster, the big names that they've added, Connor Bedard, other premium picks. They picked in the top five for the last 3 years, and we'll see what they can put together, but Vegas is not hopeful that things come together in any light there in Chicago. The teams to know in order, first Stanley Cup odds, and of course, again, with hockey, it's anyone's guess. You got one, two, three, four, five, six, seven teams with odds that are similar. Hurricanes plus 750 are your leader. Tampa Bay plus 800. Edmonton plus 850. Vegas plus 900. Colorado, same deal. And then Florida and Dallas plus 1,000. That's your top seven. Devils, Maple Leafs, and Kings. Rounding out the top 10, you can find that article at ESPNSiouxFalls.com. And lastly, in terms of hockey news, one of the more physically imposing people to ever play in my lifetime in the NHL, Zdeno Chara, will have his jersey retired. They'll retire his number 33 on January 15th prior to the game against Seattle. Chara is set to become the 13th player in franchise history to have his number raised to the rafters and the first since Willie O'Ree back in 2022. Chara captained the Bruins to the Stanley Cup in 2011 as part of his 14-year run in Boston. I mentioned physically imposing people. 6'9" Slovakian defenseman won the Norris Trophy for being the NHL's best at his position in 2009 and helped the team reach the final in 2013 and in 2019. Zdeno Chara, latest honor for him. He was elected to the Hockey Hall of Fame in June and is set to be inducted in November. Baseball talk now. The schedule to come today. Mariners at Tigers, 2:30. Coverage begins on ESPN Sioux Falls. Blue Jays at Yankees. Coverage starts 6:30 tonight as well. Not a closeout matchup potentially for the Mariners and Tigers. That is the only series of the four that is tied a game apiece. Blue Jays looking to sweeparoo the New York Yankees and sweep them out of the postseason. They lead the series 2-0 in a best of five. So yeah, they're facing elimination tonight, and manager Aaron Boone looking at possibly tinkering with the lineup. Here's what he had to say in an article at ESPN.com. Then you also have some consideration to what they have in the bullpen. How do you space things out a little bit? It starts with the opposing starter. The obvious alteration is having Paul Goldschmidt start at first base over Ben Rice. There are a lot of decisions to be made. Maybe wreaking the desperation for the New York Yankees. They trail Toronto 2-0 and potentially getting swept out of the Major League Baseball playoffs in the divisional series tonight. 6:30 coverage on ESPN Sioux Falls. That's the latest from the world of the NHL. That season begins officially tonight. 3 games on the way. Blackhawks at Panthers, 4 o'clock. Penguins at Rangers, 7. Avalanche at Kings, the nightcap at 9:30. All 3 of those games on ESPN TV. We take the break, come back with hour number 2 of Overtime on the way. Another toe dip into your headlines and highlights. The Jackrabbit women, unsurprisingly, are your top team in the Summit League preseason poll. We'll let you know where the Yotes finished and decipher things on the men's side as well, where we got 2 teams in our state very well thought of in the Summit League in 2025. Those rankings, players to watch, preseason teams are out. We'll get those to you coming up next on Overtime.